This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and I welcome you to Issues of the Environment. Just a few shopping days left for Christmas now. As usual, it's expected that malls, shopping centers, big box stores, and local merchants, they're going to get a big rush through Christmas Eve. Then there's the post-Christmas days of returns, exchanges, and sale purchases. Almost all of it generates waste that can be damaging to our environment and, in some cases, to our health. How can we be more conscious of our impact? Well, by knowing the facts. My guest this morning is Jillian Miller, and Dr. Miller is a senior scientist at HealthyStuff.org, which is a part of the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center. And a lot of the gifts that are being purchased this year, Jillian, are electronic in nature. New cell phones, TVs, computers, and the like. Is there something we need to keep in mind as we research and make our plans for these last-minute purchases?
To consider the life cycle of the thing that you're considering buying. Because I certainly notice these days a lot of products, whether it's toys or clothing and sometimes electronics too, are not built to last especially long. They will become landfill in a couple of years, if not sooner. And understanding that fact can help us be more intentional about our purchases. Electronics in particular have a huge waste problem. But from my perspective in the work I do, another thing I think of as a more immediate issue to a consumer is the flame retardant chemicals that are used on or in these electronic devices. So this would be televisions, personal assistant things like the Google Home and the similar items, computers, all of those are infused or coated with chemicals to reduce flammability. And the interesting thing, also concerning thing, is that a lot of research has shown that the more electronics in your home, the more flame retardants and the more varied the chemicals in your dust. And dust turns out to be a key route of exposure to a lot of these chemicals. They have a wide variety of health effects.
What is our best method of prevention?
Consider how much you really want or need the item and will use it. Is it just a novelty that will become, you know, not that interesting and just be sitting around after a while? Or is it something that will be really useful to you? All of us have electronics of some sort in our homes for the most part, and I do too. And in that case, you can at least being aware of the issue of chemical exposure in an indoor environment, keeping dust down, honestly, is one of the best things, and washing hands, and also not letting young children play with devices, such as sometimes old cell phones or lots of other devices, especially the little kids that'll, you know, put their hands in their mouths constantly.
And Jillian, I want to talk about those little kids for a while. That's the best part of the holidays, isn't it? Watching children open their presents.
Definitely.
It is something to behold. See that sense of wonder, appreciation. But there are a long list of children's toys that are manufactured with chemicals that can be dangerous. So beyond the electronics, all of these stocking stuffers and these things that we think are going to amuse them for the next year or two, they have the potential to cause harm, particularly those really little children who tend to put things in their mouths.
Yeah, but there is good news about toys that I want to state first, which is that we often get questions from consumers worried about chemical content of toys. You know, there's been a lot of news stories in the past number of years. But I will say that toys have improved in terms of chemical content since our organization and others helped get federal legislation passed starting in 2008 to restrict lead, also phthalates, which are a plasticizer chemical. So when we test toys these days, which we don't do as much as we used to, we don't find much in terms of heavy metals or phthalates, which is really good. But there is a loophole I want people to be aware of, which is if the toy or item or thing is not labeled intended for children, it's not subject to those regulations.
So that those are the words, intended for children.
Yes, intended for children or clearly labeled a toy, then it will be subject to those regulations. And I have a couple examples. The fidget spinners that have been in the news recently, those are not labeled specifically as intended for children. And
is there a lot of lead in those?
We haven't tested them, but I have read credible accounts of several of the fidget spinner brands. I don't know the specific brands, and it's not all of them, but some have significant lead because they have these heavy pieces in order to balance, and lead is a nice heavy metal.
Right, and if we consider the lead exposure from lead-based paints and the lead that we've seen in the water in Flint and other places, then we know that these are neurotoxins that can have dramatic lifelong effects.
Yes, lead is not controversial. It is really dangerous.
You are listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Dr. Jillian Miller of HealthyStuff.org about more sustainable gift purchases as we approach Christmas Day. And as I'm sure you're well aware, it's most kids' nightmare. You try and stay up waiting for Santa, you fall asleep against your will, then you wake up to find that the first three presents you open are clothes. Are there any clothing items or materials we need to be aware of or perhaps avoid?
I would like to point out two this year, and one is synthetic fabrics like polyester fleece is a really common one for clothing and blankets.
Yeah, I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's been some pretty staggering research just in the last couple years about the pollution that's creating in all of our waters, the Great Lakes and the ocean. There are tiny pieces of plastic referred to as microplastics that seem to come out mostly when these things are laundered, when they're washed, and they wash into our waters. They're not taken out by traditional water treatment systems, and so we keep finding more and more. We don't know all the effects of this on the ecosystems and the cascading effects, but they're in fish tissues, and clearly we've added yet another thing to our environment.
Right.
So you can avoid those entirely if you try by choosing cotton and other non-synthetic fabrics.
Well, that's great to know that I'm a walking part of the problem.
Most of us are without even realizing it, and especially for things that get washed a lot. So perhaps if you have, you know, a coat that is an outerwear and you don't wash it very much, probably a lot less part of the problem because you're only washing it every once in a long while.
Now, as we purchase kids' furniture and even new furniture for the common areas of our homes and apartments, do we have to have similar concerns about the fabrics that we're dealing with, or is it more the fire retardants that are contained inside?
Furniture and clothing and carpets. I have one other thing to say before getting to flame retardants, that I think another thing that we should probably give up is stain-resistant treatments of clothing, furniture, and carpets. That's another thing that's been subject to a great deal of research in the last few years, and we're finding more about the chemicals needed to make those products stain-resistant are fluorinated chemicals. They're in the same class as the chemicals that make Teflon. They have amazing properties. I see why they're so popular. There is nothing else that makes stuff so stain-resistant and grease-resistant, and yet that's another source of pollution for our drinking water sources.
You're full of good news today, aren't you?
I know. I have some better news about furniture in general. There's been, you know, a lot of concern about flame retardant chemicals for very good reason, largely due to California's flammability standard from back in the 70s. Most upholstered furniture was, you know, pretty packed full of these flame retardant chemicals that are coming out very easily from the furniture and have some really serious health consequences. A lot of them are hormonal effects and developmental damage. In 2013, California modified its law that applies to furniture to take effect in 2015 so that if you buy furniture now, it most likely does not have the flame retardant chemicals that it used to. And that at least is good news.
And then, you know, more good news. And that's where we started off, was good news. So let me ask you this. When it comes to policy, we know we have a federal administration that's pushing for less and more lax environmental regulation. On the consumer product issues, are you pleased with where we are and where we're headed?
We have definitely made some progress with federal regulations that, as far as I know, are not at risk, that regulate lead, phthalates, cadmium, and some children's products. We have recently seen the Consumer Product Safety Commission recommend a ban on a whole class of flame retardant chemicals. We think that's excellent news. The question there is whether they're actually going to get to the point of coming up with a rule and being able to implement it, since, as you said, we're under a fairly anti-regulation administration.
It's going to be interesting to watch moving forward, to be certain. So, Jillian, one final question. I am so grateful for all of the accumulated knowledge that you have and that you've been willing to share it with us so we can make some better decisions. On a personal note, when you do your holiday shopping, do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with what you do know and then rendered into some sort of purchase paralysis?
I do, actually, because I have
I
kids.
I bet.
And even though my kids know what I do and they know a little about these issues, they're young kids, and to them a new toy is delightful. It's
right.
The best thing. It's so fun. And there are certain toys that, sure, their friends have. They want the same thing. So I try to strike a balance by getting my kids some things that they really, really want that I wouldn't personally choose as my top choice, but it's fairly limited. Like, I don't buy them a large amount of things, and I also buy them secondhand stuff when possible.
Jillian Miller, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
That is Dr. Jillian Miller, a senior scientist at HealthyStuff.org, part of the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center. Have a happy and healthy holiday, Jillian.
Thanks, you too.
I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. It's heard each Wednesday only on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.